Good morning. I'm Steve George in for John Panesco, who is taking the day off today in place of Let's Talk About It. I have a couple of guests in the studio, and we'll be talking about the Chehalis River Basin Flood Authority. With me are Lewis County Commissioner Edna Fund, who is Lewis County's representative on the Flood Authority, and also Scott Betcher, who is a consultant to the Chehalis Basin Flood Authority. Edna, to get things started, by way of history, just how long has there been the issue of flooding on the Chehalis River here in Lewis County and throughout the Chehalis River Basin?
When you look at the old newspapers, you find that back in the late 1800s, we had flooding going on. When I look in 1934, there was a huge flood that happened in December of 33, and in 34, in response, the Army Corps of Engineers were calling people to come to the Lewis County Courthouse in Chehalis from Thurston County and Grays Harbor County and Lewis County to solve those flooding issues. As you can imagine, it has not went very far in solving those issues. But right now, with the Chehalis Basin Flood Authority, we're seeing some progress. But in the past, we've had a lot of flooding throughout the years, and we're intent on solving those issues.
So it's a decades-old problem. It's not something that we've just seen in the last 30 or 40 years.
That's true. And if it would have been easy, we would have solved it by now.
So how long has the Chehalis River Basin Flood Authority been around?
Well, it was formed after the 2007 flood. It was formed in 2008 with representation up and down the basin. And throughout the time that we've had the Flood Authority, we've added additional members and some members have left. Right now, we have 12 communities involved in the Flood Authority.
And which are the communities and the organizations that are involved?
Well, we have the three counties of Lewis, Thurston, and Grays Harbor. We have the cities of Aberdeen, Centralia, Chehalis, Cosmopolis, Montesano, Napavine, Oakville, and the two towns of PL and Bucota.
Edna, wasn't the Chehalis tribe a part of the Flood Authority at one time? Are they no longer part of it?
They had been part, the Chehalis tribe had been part of the organization, and now they're part of the Chehalis Basin work group that works directly with the governor and the governor's staff.
Scott, for you, what is currently being done to avoid damage from flooding in the Chehalis River Basin?
Thank you. That's a very good question. The Chehalis Basin Flood Authority in the last year has become particularly active on the front of projects. And these would be flood hazard reduction projects in particular. The state legislature in 2012 appropriated $5 million for the Flood Authority and the Chehalis Tribe to work in partnership to deploy to communities for flood hazard reduction projects. At the conclusion of the year 2012, in preparation for the 2013 state capital budget, the Chehalis Basin Flood Authority, along with the separate Chehalis Governor's Work Group, were asked to come up with additional $10 million in local projects. And these local projects are things such as repairing and potentially raising the levee around the airport here in the Chehalis Centralia Airport. There are projects like levees and dikes down in the Aberdeen area. There are projects like critter pads. And what critter pads are earthen structures in fields so that farmers can get their cattle up above the floodwaters, as well as their expensive farm equipment. So the Flood Authority really has been focused in really aggressively in the last year and a half on the ground projects. And we're able to do so because of the preceding years of building a really solid foundation of scientific understanding about where best placement of projects could and should go, as well as understanding the effects of projects on downstream neighbors and partners.
I'm talking with Lewis County Commissioner Edna Fund and also consultant Scott Betcher about the Chehalis Basin Flood Authority. Scott, as Edna mentioned, the flooding has been a problem in the Chehalis River Basin for decades. Has it just been since the authority was formed in 2008 that you've really done a lot of studies, or have there been studies for decades on what to do about the problem in the Chehalis River Basin?
There have been studies for decades about what to do with flooding in the Chehalis Basin. And unfortunately, the studies would probably be best be characterized as sort of fits and starts over the years. What is different today is the intense focus on turning the studies that the Flood Authority has been part of and elevating the state of knowledge into direct action projects. And we are seeing direct action projects on the ground. The Flood Authority, the outgoing Governor Gregoire, incoming new Governor Inslee, as well as the state legislature are all very much committed towards getting projects on the ground, really because we do know that big floods will come again. The Flood Authority, the legislature, the governor do not have the power to stop the rain or stop large rainfall events, but what we can do is do our darn best to get real projects in the ground that help to protect important infrastructure, help to protect important economies like agriculture, and also help to alert folks early enough so that they have the ability to make decisions for themselves as soon as possible. So really, studies have been done in the past that have really resulted not necessarily in the kind of action that we're seeing that people want to be occurring, and that's sort of the difference with this current era of flood hazard reduction in the Chehalis Basin.
Now, is this the closest that we've been to a comprehensive flood control for not just the Twin Cities, but for the entire Chehalis River Basin?
This is Edna Fund, and I would say yes, it probably is. There's been a lot, many times that we're close to getting something done, and something fell apart. Funding was not available. And I know some of those studies that were done years ago, you know, are obsolete, but they do also give us some information that help us move forward now. So it's been a struggle, but I'm cautiously optimistic now with what we have going that we can make some progress, and progress that our citizens can see.
Edna, what would you say to skeptics who have some doubts about the progress of what the Flood Authority is doing based on the fact that there have been studies done in the past and not a whole lot of action has been seen?
Well, this is the first time that I've seen that we as a Flood Authority are together as one team. And with our flood work group that's working with the governor, that's the first time I've seen a group work together directly with the governor on this. And so it's an opportunity we have right now to make progress. We have $28.2 million in the budget of the Senate and the House and the governor's request legislation. So that's pretty amazing to have that kind of general agreement that we can work on certain projects to help us move forward. And one of those major projects is taking a look at building a water retention facility near PL. And this will analyze, you know, fishing, mitigation, what can we do in order to potentially build such a facility.
Speaking of that, the Upper Basin, is that the Upper Basin retention, water retention that you're talking about? Are there estimates as to what something like that would cost and when we might see that actually put into place?
I can try to take a stab at that. This is Scott Boettcher again. Just back a half a step to the previous question, I think what also differentiates today from the past of studies is single entities in the past have done sort of single studies. What's different now is a partnership of state agencies, a work group that was convened by the governor. Everybody is now sort of under a single strategy rowing in the same direction. And that, in this world, really helps to to move people towards action. To your question about the upper basin retention structure, where that is in terms of process, at this point in time, the only real hard, fast numbers we have for construction are on the order of about $245 million for a retention structure that also provides some hydropower, or less at about $165 million for strictly a flood control only structure. The caveat on these numbers is that they are preliminary at this point in time, and with the capital budget that's proposed at the state legislature right now, there is money in there for doing a detailed engineering feasibility analysis, which would generate truer costs for what those structures would cost, as well as monies are in there to study the impact to fisheries and natural resources. Once we know those impacts, we'll know those costs. So total cost is going to really be a function of understanding construction costs as well as costs to mitigate for impacts to fishery and environmental and natural resources. And I should say that the requirement with the capital budget proposal relative to the analysis of the impacts to fisheries and then the engineering feasibility is that all that work be completed by 2014. So check back in 2014, we'll have a better number as to total cost.
I'm talking with Lewis County Commissioner Edna Fund and also Scott Betcher from the Chehalis River Basin Flood Authority about the authority and the projects that the Flood Authority are involved with to try to control flooding in the Chehalis River Basin. Now, Scott, is an upper water upper basin water retention structure really the linchpin to the flood control in the basin, or is that just one of many things?
Well, I think that you need to look at the answer to that question on a couple time scales. It is a kind of retention. It is a kind of solution that has the capacity to hold back large amounts of water and to deliver benefits throughout down the whole main stem all the way to Cosmopolis. Unfortunately, realizing those benefits can't occur on an immediate timescale. They are big things to build. They're difficult things to permit. And so, you know, a 10-year time horizon is not necessarily unrealistic to think about. So in the short term, we're focused on these local projects. And those are intended to be the kinds of projects that can be conceptualized, designed, engineered, and built and permitted and built within a 2-year time frame. And that's very much what the legislature would like us to do. That's very much what the flood authority is focused on. And that's very much what the conversations that are occurring today with the environmental regulatory agencies.
I've lived in the Twin Cities since 1980, and so I've experienced every one of the floods that we've had since then, and it seems like the impact of those floods have gotten worse each time. Is that because of just the weather conditions, or did it have to do with maybe infrastructure or development that took place that resulted in those increasing impacts?
Well, we are finding that the five largest events since 1986 happened there, and we had the closure of I-5. The flood we had in 2007, it was so much water that came in. It was one of those perfect storms that happened. And then we had the logjam. It just, a lot of things happened that made it one of the worst ones we've ever had. Hopefully, we'll never have one of that magnitude again. But it was something that we were not prepared for. We did not have the Doppler radar available to us to tell us that this storm was coming. And part of the issue was we had more damage, but we weren't prepared with the time frame to say, get things taken care of because here comes this huge storm.
Edna, you've talked, you and Scott both have talked about the budgets in the legislature. Tell me exactly how the legislature has been helping to bring about flood control for not just the Twin Cities, but the entire basin.
Well, they did give us money in the last biennium to work on projects. And we talked about the ADNA levy and the airport levy and the critter pads that we mentioned we're trying to finish up now. And now they're giving us further. dollars to continue that. I was also going to insert something else when we have flooding here. When we look at like Cosmopolis and those areas, what they have to consider too is the tidal flow. So if the tide's in and the waters come, that's a major issue for them. So we may have the Chalice River, you know, tightening that up, but we also have to consider what the tidal flows are for the communities downstream.
I might add in terms of what the state legislature has helped the flood authority to accomplish, kind of two additional tools that are available now that have not been available in the past that are really going to make a difference. The first is an early warning system that is web-based, and citizens in the basin, the general public, can log on to ChehalisRiverFlood.com. And they can real-time see what's happening upstream of themselves and chart and track the elevation of rivers, rainfall, precipitation, etc., through a series of gauges that are out in the basin, number one. The second tool that is new is we have a single hydraulic model that goes from the upper headwaters of the main stem of the Chehalis River all the way down to Aberdeen and Cosmopolis. And so what that means, having a scientific model like this, is it gives us the ability to predict impacts as a result of projects and impacts downstream. So if you were to place structures into the floodway or the floodplain, using the model, you can understand the conveyance of impact downstream. And that really is a game changer in terms of the ability to move forward with projects, because we can now all act and work together as a team, upper basin and lower basin, which is, again, different than how things have been in the past. So two tools that the state legislature has helped us to fund that are very directly attributable to emergency response and preparedness and projects.
And we have been very aware that we can't do anything in this part of the community that would bring the water down faster to the other parts of the community. So there's been some suggestion to get the water quicker out of the Twin Cities. Well, then we're impacting our friends and neighbors down the river. So we are very aware that we need to work together as a team so we can make it happen for everyone and not impact somebody else's habitat.
I'm Steve George, and on KELA this morning, I'm talking with Lewis County Commissioner Edna Fund and also Scott Betcher, a consultant to the Chehalis Basin Flood Authority, about the problems of flooding in the basin. Scott, Edna has said, and you've said too, the problems in the basin, there's different problems for the upper basin and the lower basin, right?
This is very true. The upper basin is looking at large amounts of water moving rapidly. The Chehalis Twin Cities are heavily populated areas, looking at lots of population and economy. The agricultural areas to the south, as we go down gradient, have their own economies that are impacted. And as you get into the lower basin, erosion of farmland and other kinds of impacts are very important to those folks. So, yeah, different kinds of impacts, different points throughout the basin. Another thing that the legislature, if this 28.2 passes, there is money in there to work with the communities within the basin around some common unification of development codes and home elevation programs and things of that sort. So not all projects are brick and mortar. Some projects and some of the funding will go towards ensuring that our land use codes throughout the basin, where it makes sense and is appropriate, are of a similar kind of standard, so that we don't have one community impacting another community. Again, that's very important in today's world, and the progress that we've been able to make is because we've been in partnership with our lower basin members, upper basin members, and in partnership through the governor's work group with the Chehalis tribe.
Scott, give me an example or a kind of a feeling for the amount of man hours that are going into the effort. Are you working on a weekly basis or on a constant basis or to solve the problem?
Yeah, there's several different levels of work that have gone on and are going on. And it does occur at the staff level on a weekly basis. Just in the last quarter, for example, we've had a very large outreach effort that Commissioner Fund, Chair of the Flood Authority, Vicki Raines, and the other county commissioners and other representatives of the Flood Authority, we are going out to all the basin governments and talking with them and raising their awareness of what's going on. We're also going out to various interested organizations, economic development councils. We were at Twin Cities Sartoma last week, and again, trying to create a common sense of understanding about what's going on in the basin. And we're wanting to do that because, you know, a principal role of the Flood Authority is to be that common denominator to a lot of efforts and activities that are going on and a touch point for people to understand. And so we've worked hard in the last 6 months in particular to make ourselves very present and transparent on the web. And if you go to www.ezview.com, you can scroll down to the Chehalis Basin Flood Authority's website, and at that website you can access all of our underlying studies. You can access the capital budget request. You can drill into the projects and project descriptions, including project budgets and timelines. And we're really working hard to expose everything that we've done, and so that people see the basis behind the kinds of decisions and recommendations the Flood Authority is making. And doing that, being transparent, takes time and takes work, but we're confident that it will generate the kind of trust and responsibility that is demanded of us.
And I would like to add that if there are other entities out there in Lewis County, Thurston County, Grays Harbor County that would like to have a presentation by the Flood Authority Outreach and Education Committee, we would welcome that. And they can contact us through the website.
And it seems like a lot of progress is being made by the Chehalis Basin Flood Authority towards solving the problem, at least trying to find a solution to the problem of flooding and the impacts of flooding here in the basin. But are there things, maybe other than not getting financing, that could unravel the process and the progress that's being made?
One thing that concerns me is citizen apathy. Citizen apathy could unravel us. When the 2007 flood occurred and we had meetings afterward, the rooms would be jammed with people, standing room only. And then as we get further away from those flood events, less and less people are there. And I am concerned that people are forgetting or just got back into the daily stream of life, that they forget that we have a flooding issue and it could come back at any time. So apathy is an issue for me. I want the public to be engaged with what we're doing, because this is something for the future we need to be very, very knowledgeable about and take very big steps to solve.
I'm Steve George, and on KTLA this morning, I'm talking with Lewis County Commissioner Edna Fund and also Scott Betcher, a consultant to the Chehalis Basin Flood Authority, about the authority and what it's doing. We're starting to run out of time. Edna, is there anything that we haven't touched on yet that you think is of importance about the topic that you would like to let people know?
Well, I wanted to indicate also there's money in the legislature for Department of Transportation to look at I-5. And some citizens may remember there was a proposal to put some kind of flood walls up on the side of I-5 to keep the water off I-5, but we found that that would impact our citizens. More water would stay within the cities. But anyway, we're working with them because we know if we build a water retention facility, that is wonderful, great, but there's some other things we need to do to assure that we have flood mitigation from the beginning and the end of the Chehalis Basin.
Scott, the same question. Is there anything that that you really think that or you would like people to know?
No, I think I would just conclude that this is a really exciting group that is doing a really terrific job balancing their responsibilities of delivering projects in a scientifically sound way that is considerate and protective of the communities upstream and downstream. It's a really exciting and fun group to be working with.
I would like to also add that our next Flood Authority meeting that we're going to be having in Lewis County will be July 18th at probably the Adna Grange. So we're hoping people, our local area people, will be able to come to that. It will be starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. And we have meetings that occur telephonically every other month, and if citizens want to join on that, they can, but the local opportunity again will be in July.
You answered a question before I got a chance to ask it, and that was, is there a way for local citizens that aren't connected with a governmental agency, if they want to get involved, come to meetings, find out firsthand what's going on, how can they do that? Or can they do that?
Yes, they can. You know, they can contact us through the website. They can come to our meetings. They're open, and we encourage public input.
Can I make one more plug for the website? I think in my previous, I made a mispronunciation. The correct web address is www.ezview.wa.gov. And that website is also advertised prominently on the Lewis County government website as well.
And Edna, I think you kind of answered this one earlier too, but what is your gut feeling about the ability to solve the flooding issues here in not just Lewis County in the Twin Cities, but in the entire Chehalis River Basin?
I, for the first time, am cautiously optimistic. I sat on the Flood Authority when I was a city councilor in Centralia, and we had some rocky times. And now I feel great optimism that we can do something, that we're all working together. As Scott said earlier, that we're rowing in the same direction in this boat, that we're talking to each other. And once again, we really want the public to be involved, and if they want to come to our meetings, we welcome that. And we think that for the first time, we could be on the road to solving the issues with the Chehalis River flooding.
And Scott, the same question?
I think it's the same sentiment as Commissioner Fund. We have really broad, bipartisan, broad interest group cohesion, and that in this world makes a difference. If it were a single entity pushing a single agenda, those don't work. But we have a multi-strategy which is focused on large capital projects. It's focused on immediate delivery, two-year time frame projects. It's focused on fish and habitat enhancement projects throughout the basin as well, which are very important. And it's focused on harmonizing, where appropriate, local development codes and things of this sort. So we really are in partnership around a broad strategy, and that's the kind of a program that delivers results versus a single agenda. So that's what, to me, is exciting.
This morning, I've been talking with Lewis County Commissioner Edna Fund and also Scott Betcher, who was a consultant for the Chehalis Basin Flood Authority. Thank you, Scott and Edna, for joining me this morning. I'm Steve George. John Panesco will be back with Let's Talk About It on Monday. This is KELA Centralia Chehalis.